This episode is brought to you by BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 225. Well, the time has come for more Everyday Novelist. I'm sorry I let the podcast lapse. I had a cold, and I was in the middle of doing a lot of audio editing anyway, so it just slid completely off my cracker, and I didn't realize that the buffer had run out until some of you started poking me ever so gently and politely, and I appreciate that. So, here we are, a new block. You guys have been fantastic with the questions. We've got at least 25 days worth that I'm starting to record right now. And if it sounds a little different and a little noisy, it's because I'm recording outside in a rainstorm, because I needed a break from the booth and the computer. I really did. And it's gorgeous out here. I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area for the next few days still, and the rain here has been incredible. It's reminding me of home. God, I miss the coast. I have a stack of questions and a beautiful, wonderful, newly lit Maduro. And let's get started with a fantastic question from Cheyenne, who says, I read somewhere that after 9/11, certain television series based in New York edited their opening sequences to omit any images of the World Trade Center as a reaction to the events that destroyed the towers. Furthermore, some of these and other series never worked the events into their plots, even if the timeline was the current day, and made no mention of the lingering effects of 9/11, i.e. heightened airport security, presumably to avoid having to discuss the obvious. What I noticed was that the omission of 9/11 from the script did not necessarily detract from the quality or believability of the story. That being said, if they launched a television series that had taken place in then Nazi-occupied Europe and made no mention whatsoever of the Holocaust, no one would remain quietly seated. So where is the difference defined between these two examples of historical omission? Oh, I remember it well, Cheyenne. I, in fact, remember the first time I saw the World Trade Center in a film after the September 11th attacks was in Spider-Man, the original with Tobey Maguire. And they actually did change the movie radically. Evidently, the original climax involved Spider-Man stringing a big web between the Twin Towers in order to catch the Green Goblin. But nonetheless, there was a gorgeous beauty shot of the towers. And it was only about 10 months or so after they came down, and I tell you, it was a real tearjerker. It was a hell of a thing to see them still there. And I also really appreciated the fact that the producers, despite the fact that they had caved to the perceived public pressure not to mention the towers, actually went even after changing their script and put them back in some capacity. I thought it was a really classy move. Dealing with current historical events in fiction is a bit of a thorny problem. First of all, you risk looking political when you don't intend to, particularly in the current day and age when everything is politicized. Now, I say that as if it's something new, but it's really not. Over the course of my lifetime, there have been, I would say about half of every decade has had everything be politicized, and it's a very annoying phenomenon, but it happens from time to time, and you deal with it. We're a political species, and Americans are a particularly political people, though not in the way that Europeans would generally recognize most of the time. The criteria that I use when I'm trying to figure out whether to allow history into my stories or not depends a lot on what the nature of the story is. If the story doesn't really have anything to do with the big scary events that are going on, there's no reason to derail your story and make it topical. Topical stories tend not to last. If you want to deal with a topic that's currently politically topical, setting it in the present day is the worst thing you can do insofar as making fiction that lasts a while, because writing about a current event from a live perspective doesn't tend to wear well. Whatever your opinion of or reaction to the events now, it will have a inherent datedness that will not survive long-term scrutiny. It'll be of interest to historians and to people looking to understand the era from the contemporary point of view, but it won't have the kind of resonance that dealing with the same events years after the fact and being able to cast them in terms that are a little more timeless will. in terms of just referencing events that have happened or not happened, that's a lot less of a thorny issue, because that's just part of your backdrop. You can include or not include things as they seem important to you. Times when you might consider yourself obligated to include things are, say, if you're talking about the adventures of a Jewish family in the 1930s in Germany. If you don't mention the Holocaust at that point, you're cheating, and no one's going to like it. On the other hand, you could set a story in Germany that doesn't deal at all with the Holocaust. You would still have to have Nazis in it, because the Nazis were everywhere and in everything. But it wouldn't even have to be about the Nazis. It could be about some other feature of life that was unique and interesting in that period of history. The movie Swing Kids, though it does deal with the Nazis, does not deal with the Holocaust, and is a really fascinating look into a very underappreciated and underexamined area of German youth culture during the Second World War. It's fascinating. It's really well done. I highly recommend it. Those are the kinds of ways you can get around focusing on the big, bad, topical thing. On the other hand, if you wanted to write about 1930s Germany and not mention the Nazis at all, not mentioning the Holocaust is one thing, because frankly, most Germans didn't know what was going on. It only came out later. People in the SS knew. Some of the people that were involved in the army outside of the SS knew what was going on. Most Germans didn't. They knew that the Jews were sent away to work camps, and sometimes rumors filtered out, but it wasn't an integral part of the day-to-day life and culture of the German people in most of Germany for most of the war. However, bombing raids by Allied planes, those were, as were a number of other unpleasant things that are less well-known, and frankly could stand a bit of a historical revival because it's a fascinating, complex, and terrifying period. And reducing it to just the Holocaust is like reducing cancer to just the fact that it's an agonizing death. It doesn't actually help you understand what happened or what's going on. And when you're dealing with historical events, limiting yourself to just the big ones is kind of like having a supervillain that is all-powerful or a superhero that is all-powerful. It makes the plot predictable, it drains tension out of things, and it's just not very good fiction. It takes a really dab hand to deal with the big guns of history and make them relatable and interesting, because we've all seen them before, and we've seen them done very, very well. Now, you continue on with your question, and you say, I have absolutely no interest in writing the outcome of the 2016 presidential election in anything I publish, ever, even if it goes on affecting the course of history for, God forbid, 8 long, tired years. Now, that's just me, but it got me wondering, do you think omitting history from otherwise historically accurate fiction takes something away from the story? Would you put omission of history in the same area as rewriting history altogether? Please give me your take on this. Well, I would envision a continuum. There's a certain level of historical detail that makes your book feel dated and contemporary. In fact, in the otherwise excellent book Variable Star by Spider Robinson and Robert Heinlein, Spider Robinson was basically hired to finish a book that Heinlein had shelved and was later found among his papers. It's a great book. It's hilariously done. I mean, it's got the best things about Heinlein and the best things about Spider Robinson, which is a hell of a mashup because you've got Heinlein's wonderful sense of plot and conundrum, along with Spider Robinson's amazing, terrifying, awful puns. And it's just fantastic. But the book was completed by Robinson in 2006 or 2007, somewhere around there. It might have been a little earlier. And there's something in it that jumps out and really throws you out of the book. See, the book is set well over 100 years in the future, in a world that looks very different from our own. And there's about a page-long rant about the Iraq War. Now, the Iraq War was long, it was complicated, it was not America's finest hour, and it's had and will continue to have some interesting long-term historical ramifications. But in terms of the history of world events, it's a minor one, and it is not going to be the bit that is remembered 100 years from now, and it's certainly not going to be remembered and fussed over with the kind of opprobrium and incense that Robinson brought to the middle of Variable Star. That kind of thing just isn't appropriate. It doesn't work. It throws the reader out of the story. So working in historical details that are utterly irrelevant to the book in order to stand on a political soapbox, you run a real risk of losing your audience. On the other hand, leaving out things that define the zeitgeist, the feel of the times, the spirit of the times, in which your characters move, that's a risky proposition. You don't have to have them front and center. But changing historical facts, that can get kind of sticky. Okay, a lot of people leave out the president of the United States in their books all the time. Or if there is a president, they talk about the president, because the president doesn't really affect anything going on in the book, so he doesn't need to be a named character. On the other hand, if you're writing something where the president or his policies have an active effect on your readers, not naming the president can feel a little wonky, and changing the name of the president definitely puts you into alternate timeline science fiction. All in all, though, it's a really personal balancing act and requires a delicate touch, but on the other hand, frequently I think it's going to wind up being less important than it seems like it might be at first. My advice from an artistic point of view would be to use your judgment about what's right for the story and let your politics and attitudes shown through in the narrative rather than derailing the narrative in order to suit your own pet peeves, picadillos, and that sort of thing. It's just my personal opinion, and it's not something I've always been successful at either, to be perfectly honest. But I find that in the fiction that tends to last, the partisan political aspects tend to be muted. It's not that if you squint hard enough, you can't tell what party the writer comes from. It's that the issues of the day take a backseat to the issues of the story. The issues of the day are very, very transitory. In my lifetime, which has been one of the more stable periods of history, and it's not that long, I was born the same year the original Star Wars came out. In my lifetime, I've seen 4 different world orders. There was the late Cold War era, there was the post-Cold War era, there was the 9/11 era, and then there's the new era that we're transitioning into now. The transition between each one of those was frequently violent. Each one of those eras had its own flavor, its own cultural feel. It had its own cultural feel in the U.S., it had a different cultural feel in Europe, and different cultural feels all over the world. But each era had a zeitgeist about it. And if you're going to be setting a story in an era, you need to capture the zeitgeist, even though you may not want to, and frankly, it's frequently better not to, deal with the issues of the day, the stuff that goes by on the headlines. The issues of the day, the headlines, the stuff that absorbs all our attention in the nightly news, very little of it matters. Very little of it lasts, even when it's a big deal. I'll give you a very good example. In the late 1960s and early 70s, there were thousands of terrorist bombings in the United States every year. Almost all of them domestic terror groups from the ultra-left-wing anarchist area of the political spectrum. The fear that those created lasted well into the 80s. I remember being rushed out of malls due to bomb threats from left-wing groups when I was a real little kid. It was such a persistent problem across the US and Europe that it got satirized in Monty Python's Life of Brian. But nobody remembers that from the era. Even people that lived through that era, when they think about the late 60s, the early 70s, and on into the late 70s, they generally don't think of the terrorism. Because it wasn't the defining feature of the cultural zeitgeist. It was the other cultural tumult that was going on in the time that did it. Things like Watergate, things like the Civil Rights Act, Woodstock, the cultural decadence of the mid and late 70s, the economic collapse brought on by the oil shock, all that kind of stuff. Those are the things that people really remember from that era. Those are the things that set the tone for the music in the era. But if you were writing at the time, and I've read a lot of books written during that era, one of the traps that authors often fell into was writing about the bombings, writing about the specific groups, when they weren't really part of the story. And doing that dates the fiction in a way that doesn't necessarily last well. It's not that if you have a story about that stuff, you shouldn't do it. You should definitely go for it. But try to be aware of what's actually relevant to your story and what just seems important to you from the perspective of a today person. Because your work will last long after you're dead. If you're a good writer, it'll last long after you're dead. And you want your work to be relatable. I know that was a very long way of weaseling out of rendering a firm opinion, but I hope that my thinking out loud has been helpful on the topic. As someone who writes very historically grounded stuff, I definitely understand the dance, and I wish you the best of luck in figuring out how to navigate your way through and around these issues. Thank you very much for the question, and I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.